Today we are going to step a little further into life without limits. Last week to me was a great time of ministry here. And so this is the second part, really, of that message. Have you ever heard someone say, I really want to walk with God? Has anybody ever heard that? I really, really want to walk with God. Sometimes that's a big mistake. Unless you're prepared to walk with God. Because what I want you to remember is, if you really want to walk with Him, then you're going to have to be prepared to go where He goes and do what He is doing. If you're not, you don't need to say, I want to walk with God. But walking with God means a surrendering of self and waiting on the Lord. A surrendering of self and waiting on the Lord. What's the hardest thing you'll ever do in life? A surrendering of self. Because self will always get involved when you're about to do something for God. We can prove that scripturally. I don't even have to prove it. You know your flesh will get involved. But walking with God is an important factor. This is why David said, King David said in Psalms 27 verse 13 and 14, he said, I had fainted. Now hear him. Hear what he has to say. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now watch this. He said, wait on the Lord. Tarry on the Lord. Tarry with the Lord. Watch for the Lord. Watch. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This is imperative if you're going to understand what I'm talking about today. Because sometimes you need, if you're going to walk with God, you have to wait on the Lord. Let me read that in the Living Bible. Same one, Psalms 27, 13. I'm expecting the Lord to rescue me again. This is David. You realize how many times God had to supernaturally save David? He said, I'm expecting the Lord to rescue me again, so that once again I will see His goodness to me here in the land of the living. Now watch this. Don't be impatient. Uh-oh. You know, I'd have patience if I wasn't impatient. That's the truth. Don't be impatient. Wait for the Lord. He will come and save you. Be brave. Be stout-hearted and courageous. Yes, wait and He will help you. Wait on the Lord. I want to walk with God. I want to talk with God. Why? Because He's going to rescue me. He's going to help me. He's going to be on my side, which He did for you, Christian, this week. And for several others here. I would say that waiting patiently on God is a part of the process. If you're going to look at life without limits. It's a part of the process. And sometimes we don't want to wait. But let me tell you, if a woman gets pregnant, she's going to be pregnant approximately 9 months. You can try to rush it up and the baby will not be mature enough, or it's got to go into a NICU ward, NICU, whatever you call it, NICU ward, where they can keep it alive. But really, it needs to go full gestation. And a lot of us, we don't understand why we're waiting on the Lord. It's because we're not ready to be born. We're not ready to be birthed. We're not ready to go into the areas that God wants us to go into. And maybe we're in the wrong place at the wrong time, thinking we're doing right things. And you can do right things at the wrong time in the wrong place. Just remember I said that. So waiting patiently on God is a part of the process. How do I know? Jesus said this, being completely aligned with the Father. He walked with the Father. He was completely aligned with the Father. He said in John 5, 17, but Jesus answered them and said, my Father works hitherto, and I work. Then he says in verse 19, then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, The Son of Man can do nothing of himself. Why? He's in sync with God. He's walking with his Father. If God works, he works. If he does nothing, Jesus would do nothing. See what he says. The Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, these also doth the Son likewise. Do you understand that? So whatever God the Father was doing, Jesus was found doing. Now, we are supposed to be disciples of Christ, and if we're Christ-like, that means we must also do what the Father's doing. If we're going to walk with him, then we need to walk with him. Don't try to lead God. You know, you put a leash on your dog and your dog tries to lead you. That's not correct. You should be leading the dog, not the dog leading you. And when we talk about God, it's absolutely impossible to be successful trying to pull God into your mess or pull God into your circumstance. You're pulling him and he's not leading you. That's not alignment. That's force. And God will not allow himself to be forced. Amen? He will not allow that. But let me remind you what I said last week. I was sharing it with Brother Gross backstage because several of you were. How many were here last week? Raise your hand. How many were not here last week? Raise your hand. Okay, so you need to hear this. The Lord spoke to me clearly and succinctly last week. When he said, an assignment, where there is an assignment, there will be realignment. God will never assign something that he will not put you into proper place at the proper time doing what he wants you to do. It works that way if you're in the military. If you're in the military, you get an assignment, you're going to have to be off. Sometimes you have to be realigned more than all the time. They're going to move you where they want to move you. They want you to do what they want you to do, even if you don't want to do it. Is that correct? I mean, you may not like it. You may have to be deployed. Who in the world wants to be deployed? It's Christmas time. It doesn't matter. The military says you got to be deployed, especially if you're a Navy SEAL. You're gone. So where there's an assignment, there will be a realignment. That's what God spoke to me personally and to that conference that I was speaking at. Because you see, God has to position me so that I can be usable in that area. You wonder why you're going through some of the things you're going through. You're not in the right place, that God's got to shift you. And sometimes we're too hard-headed to do it on our own. When troubles come, I say, why? But God, I know you've got a reason. Because what he's doing in that process is trying to get you to where he wants you to be. Sometimes it's to get your thinking straight. You say, but I don't understand this thing about realignment. Hear me when I tell you. Realignment is not comfortable. Realignment is not comfortable. Realignment is not comfortable. Say that back to me. Now get that into your spirit when you're going through things. You may be realigned, and he's not trying to destroy you. He's just trying to reposition you. It may not be comfortable, and it may get really difficult. But realize this. It is this process that must be walked out in order for you to walk into his promises. If you're going to walk in his promises, you got to walk with God. God's not going to chase you into your area of life to try to bless you if you're not going to listen to him. I'm trying to give you some practical stuff here today. Why is God doing this? Why is he messing with me like this? Because God is trying to set you up for victory, or as Martin Sheen said, winning. He's trying to get you into that position where you can win. Is anybody in here against winning? I want to win. We want to win, but sometimes if you're out of position, you're not going to win. You're just going to occupy some space. What is God trying to do then? He's trying to position us for greatness. Position us for greatness. I don't understand it sometimes. God, what are you saying to me? What are you doing to me? Why are you making me move this way? Why are you trying to make me get uncomfortable? He said, because sometimes I have to get you into that area to where I can get you where I want you to go. I have to get you. You've got to be uncomfortable in order for you to move, because I get comfortable sometimes. But that's about to change. Hear me when I tell you, mark that one down in your book. Say, on this day, Bishop said, that's about to change, and it is. Trust me. But God is trying to position us for greatness. He's trying to position us for what he calls, not me, the abundant life. That means an overflowing life. That means I'm going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going to start celebrating what I have. There's a good word there. Celebrate what you have. Don't celebrate what you don't have. I'm going to celebrate what I have. I'm going to thank God for the health I have, for the home I have, for the family I have. I'm going to celebrate the church. I'm going to celebrate that. I'm not going to celebrate what I do not have, but I'm not going to focus on it either. Okay. So you say, are you ready to walk with God? You don't have to answer me right now, because it could get more difficult. Are you really ready to walk with God? Are you ready to walk into this thing we call life without limits? Because there's no way you can walk into a life without limits without walking with God. Matter of fact, they said Enoch walked with God and was not. That's in the Old Testament, for those that don't know. Enoch walked with God and was not. What does that mean? God took him. He translated him. There was a realignment so he could take him into the heavenlies. That's a phenomenal story there. So, well, God's plan cannot be fulfilled until you are in alignment with his purpose. When you get in alignment with his purpose, his plan can be fulfilled, which means of a necessity then, you have to walk with God. The Bible says that God has a plan. That's what the Bible says, not me. I think I read this to you, but I'll read it again. For I know the plans, this is Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Sometimes you need to declare a thing. James Payne called me this week. He's got another number one record. He's got 100 number one records. A lot of songs you listen to on the radio and you hear the country artist singing, he's written them. He's got 2,800 songs he's written. He said, I was praying for you, Bishop, and God told me to quit praying. He told me what he was praying over, some things that I had talked to him about. He said, God told me to stop praying. He said, I said, well, God, what am I going to do? He said, God spoke to him. He said, prophesy and I'll bring it to pass. He said, start to declare it. He said, declare favor and I'll bring him favor. He said, I'm bringing him favor. I asked another man of God to pray for me privately. And he was in a big meeting, but I whispered in his ear. I said, you need to pray. I was going to be the one praying over the request, but I asked him to pray for me. And he jerked around and looked at me. It's all 6'4" of him. He jerked around and looked at me and he said, I don't have to pray for you. God's already answered it. Sometimes you just got to know that God, when he says a thing, we declare it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. He's declaring something. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I want to walk with that. How about you? Plans to give you hope and a future. Hope and a future. Hope and a future. God declares, I'm going to give you hope and a future. How many people want that? I'll take it. If you don't want it, just throw it all my way. So I would say God's plan for our lives, for what I just read, His plan for you is perfect. It's unchanging. And it's filled with phenomenal promises. However, His plan cannot fully unfold. You can't walk in it until we align ourselves with that purpose. It won't happen. Alignment means, and I'm going to take you through some definitions here in a moment. Alignment means surrendering our own will, our own desire, and our own plans to His divine blueprint. And that's difficult. When you want to do something and God says don't. I mean, Jimmy Gross called me back years and years ago. I don't know how many years ago. Can you remember the years, 25 years ago? In 1998, he called me. I was in my car, and he said, Bishop, what was the elevator company then? It was Dover. And he said, they want me to move to Charlotte and take a better position. He said, I'm calling you first because I want to know. Is that what I need to do? He's one of the very few that's ever asked me this. Another guy asked me this. I'll tell you about him later. But I said, Jimmy, well, what do you want to do? He said, well, I want to hear from you. I want to know what you want me to do. What is God saying? And I said, don't go. I said, don't go to Charlotte because they're going to offer you a better position here with more pay. Did it happen? And now, did you get escalated to a higher position? How high did you go? He represented them globally. So, when you start to align with that kind of thing, and you start walking with God, then He's going to bless you. I can name different people. He blessed Chris this week. I mean, I know what He's done. Business-wise, He blessed Christian. He's blessed, I can name Valerie and different ones, but I'm going to say He's blessed you, kept you alive this week. Alignment means surrendering our own will, desire, and plans to His blueprint. See, when a car is out of alignment, has anybody ever, their car's ever gotten out of alignment? I'm going to tell you, it can get so bad that it'll actually jerk the wheel. Jerk the wheel. Jerk the wheel. How many people know that's dangerous? You can jerk right into the traffic or off the road. If you're out of alignment, you can get off the road. Am I right or wrong? So we cannot move effectively toward God's destiny without being in step with Him. Now I'm going to give you some points. There's a necessity to being aligned. There's a necessity of alignment. Let me give you this scripture. Commit your works to the Lord. It's found in Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. That sounds simple, doesn't it? Let me tell you why that's important. When you are committed to an important job, if you have an important job, has anybody here had important jobs before? Okay, let me just say this. When you're on that important job, that's why this scripture is so important. You don't think about your girlfriend, your boyfriend. You don't think about your bills. You don't think about anything but getting that job completed. Am I right or wrong? That's an important verse. He's saying, I want you to commit your work. Get committed in your work. And your thoughts will be established. Your thoughts won't be wandering. You won't be off in left field. You won't think in things you don't need to think. I mean, I've had times this week I had to stop myself from thinking and say, thank you, Jesus. I just love you and honor you and praise you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. This is not going to happen. That's not going to happen because you're with me. I mean, I have to do that. You say, why? Because I'm at the head of this church, and you don't think, if you're getting attacked, think about what He's trying to do to me. So, remember when your mind, when you're in a job that's important and God's work is important, God's word is important, your mind will not waver when you commit to it, to the task at hand. Now hear this. God's purpose or his plan, Floyd, is like a train track. It's like a train track. And we're the train. Somebody say, I'm the train. If we are, in fact, that, if we derail, we cannot move forward. Powerful locomotive and just a track. But if you get off track, you're not going anywhere. How many here have started out on the right track and got derailed? Fact, we got derailed. As a matter of fact, the enemy of our soul, Satan himself and all his demonic power. Say, don't preach about them, Bishop. Don't even mention them because, well, you have to because they're the ones attacking you. The enemy of your soul becomes a train robber. Do you remember in the Wild Wild West, if you watch some of those old movies, they used to throw logs and stuff. What did they do that for? Trying to derail the train so they could rob it. Here's the word of the Lord for you. The enemy's trying to derail you so he can rob you of your joy and of your promise. That's all he's trying to do. He knows you're powerful. You've got a powerful locomotive, powerful force, a lot of energy. But if he can derail you, you can't go forward because you're off the track God wants you to be on. That's good stuff right there. As a matter of fact, you'll actually miss your destination. You won't be able to get to your destination because you are now, he's robbed you, he's gotten you off track, and you can't go nowhere. Alignment begins with recognizing that our ways must match his ways. I'm giving you some definitions as we go. It's not asking about God to bless our plans. Oh, God bless my plan. I got a plan. It's not about asking God to bless our plans, but seeking to follow his. I want to follow your plan, God. What's your plan, God? Let me give you an example. I know y'all love examples. There was a prophet in the Bible. His name was Jonah. God gave him an assignment. He didn't want to line up with God. He wanted to realign himself toward what he wanted. And all that happened because he wanted to go. God said, go to Nineveh because I'm going to destroy Nineveh. And Jonah wanted to align with Tarshish. I'll go preach in Tarshish. Now, God, I'm going to preach. That's a good thing, isn't it? I'm going to go prophesy. Isn't that a good thing? Yes. It's just you're not doing it in the right place at the right time. So what did Jonah do? I'm going to go to Tarshish. Whenever you walk in disobedience, all it does is bring storms and delays. You wonder why you're in a storm? You wonder why you're being delayed? Because you've decided to go to Tarshish, and God wants you over here in Nineveh. That's why when people that jump from church to church, there's nothing wrong if they're preaching Jesus Christ, but God may have not planted you there. He put you there on a track. That's just the way it is. I can't explain that to you other than it's organic what God does. He brings it together. So Jonah, thinking himself to be something he wasn't, got thrown over. You know the story, and got, I'll preach that sometime in its fullness. Gets thrown over and a great fish swallows him. You know the story. And the Bible says, and out of the belly of hell I cried. Now, think about that for a minute. Out of the belly of hell, he's in the belly of that fish. He cries out. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't have to be in no belly of a fish before I cry out. I'm going to get it done before I get in the fish. Right, Jada? But only, everybody say only. This is important. Only when he aligned with God's purpose did the fish vomit him out on land. And matter of fact, when he got vomited out on that land, the Bible says he took off running. And he got to Nineveh in 3 days, and it should have taken him a week or so. But he said, man, I'm so happy to get out of that fish. I'm going to get done what God asked me to do. So only when he aligned with God's purpose, Nineveh heard the message and experienced transformation. See, God's plan. It was God's plan. But what does this look like? If I'm misaligned, Bishop, if I'm out of alignment, what does that look like? Go look in the mirror. What does that look like? Living out of alignment, here we go. If you're living out of alignment, it leads to confusion. You wonder why you're in a confused state. It leads to confusion. It leads to frustration and leads to a lack of peace. Why? Because you're out of alignment. Well, I don't know if I'm out of alignment or not. Signs of misalignment. Let me give you some signs. Prioritizing personal desires over God's will. You're out of alignment. Well, I'll go to church when I know Bishop's going to be there. He's always going to be there up there preaching. And I'll go to church when I can. I'll be a part when I can. You made a big mistake, because I might not always be here. And God for you may not show up because you are prioritizing yourself over God. Did anybody see my Facebook post where I showed all the different crowds from sporting events to concerts? I showed that, and it showed church on Sunday. It looked like our crowd. But they were showing huge events where 80,000, and it went right down the line from college games to concerts and all this. And it's the truth. We'll go and sit out in sub-zero weather to watch a ball game. I know a family that said it that 1 year at the Navy-Army game, and snow had covered them. They looked like snowmen. Now, if I turned on a snow machine in here, there wouldn't nobody be in here. Prioritizing personal desires over God's will. Well, how else will I know about misalignment? Ignoring the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You ignore it. He speaks to you and you say, eh, I know. Hey, got you. I know. That's Chris's favorite thing to say. I know. And that's what we do to God. He said, well, if you know, big boy, why aren't you doing it? Have you ever done that? No, well, let's go on then. What's another sign of misalignment? You start trusting your thoughts, your carnal mind, your worldly wisdom instead of biblical truth. And you get in trouble. The Bible says, not Alan, there is in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. It seemed right, but it wasn't. So, in all this, those are a few points of misalignment, but they're important points. But there's also a process of alignment. What is that? Number one, I will surrender. We used to sing a song, I surrender all to thee, my precious Savior. I surrender all, except my football games, except my friends, except. That's not what it is. Surrender. What did Jesus do? Luke 22:42. Not my will, but yours be done. Thine be done. God, I don't want what. Father, I don't want what I want. I want what you want. Listen, I'm going to tell you the truth about me. If God spoke to me today and said, I want you to start a church in, think of the worst place you can think of. I'm not going to say it. I'll do it because God said it. Now, Denise won't go with me, but I'll go do it. She'll have to hold down the fort. That's just the way I think about God, because I know if God tells me to go somewhere, he's going to show up. Not my will, but yours be done. Surrender, mark it down, surrender is the first step to alignment. It's letting go of control, your control, and trusting God's plan, that His plan is better. He has a better plan. And how do we do that? Our mind has to change. There has to be a transition in our thoughts. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of smart people, and there's a lot of people who think they're smart. And if you'll listen to people talk, they'll tell you how stupid they really are. I better stop preaching now. Just listen to them long enough, and they'll show you how ignorant they are. Am I right? Just listen to them talk. They walk in, you say, this is a pretty smart fella. Let him talk a little while, and you say, he's stupider than I thought he was. We need to stop. I speak to myself, too. We need to stop trying to intellectualize and analyzing God and His Word. What are we doing? When you start to intellectualize and analyze, you're saying, I have no faith. You say, I've got to intellectualize it first, or I have to analyze it first. No, you don't. If He says, rise and be healed, you just get up and walk. If He says, open your eyes, you're no longer blinded, you open your eyes. What am I saying? If He says, go throw a fishing line into the water, and you're going to draw out a fish, and it'll have gold in its mouth, are you going to intellectualize it? Well, if you do, you're going to miss the fish. You analyze it, you have really missed the fish. But that happened in the Bible. Oh, I could go on with that. And I don't waste your time, because I know you're busy and have to beat people to lunch today. You say, why can't I intellectualize and analyze God? Because what you're trying to do is an impossible task. The only thing you can do with God, it requires faith. And when you get into faith, you get into alignment with God. So renewing our minds through God's Word will help us to understand His purpose and reshape our priorities. It's His Word. What's next? You want me to keep on? You want me to stop right now? You've got to learn to walk in obedience. That's tough. The Bible says in Luke 11:28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. There's a lot of people who hear the word of God, but they don't obey it. Obedience is better than sacrifice, the Bible says. So true alignment, if you really want to be aligned, requires action. As God's plan unfolds, we have to take obedient steps forward. Hear this. God only moves when you start to move, when you start to move in the right direction. If you're not moving, He's not moving. Don't go in a prayer closet and say, God, I'm praying You align me, and I'm asking You to give me a big job. Have you put any resumes out? No. Have you called anybody? Nope. I'm just going to sit in this closet until I'm going to fast, and I'm going to stay in this closet till You send me a job. You're going to die in that closet. Go ahead. You say, I don't believe it, God. I don't believe that, Bishop. I'm going to tell you. Go try it. I'll meet you at the funeral home. Because you will die waiting, because God wants you to come out of the closet. You have to put some things into action. God works off of action. He doesn't want you to be lazy. He wants to be able to help you when you start to reach out and move forward, and you walk into that alignment. So you have to take obedient steps. You say, well, what's in it for me if I do that? Everybody wants to know what's in it for me. My son asked me that one day when he was younger. I asked him to do something. He said, well, what's in it for me? Well, what's in it for you is you have a house to live in. You have food on the table. what's in it for me. I'll never forget that. I wish I'd have punched him right in the mouth. What's in it for me? If I ever said that to my daddy, I still would have to have false. I'd have to have false teeth. You know what I mean, Courtney? What's in it for me, Pops? When I got up. Because he would have blistered me. He said he'd have hit you with a belt. No, he'd have hit me with his fist. And he would have knocked me out. What's in it for me? Don't have to. God, what's in it for me? Let me tell you. There's a reward with it. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things was he talking about? Don't have time to preach that right now. Preach it later. But things, what things? What do you have? What do you need? What thing do you need? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he'll give all these things to you. What are the things? He was talking about things you need to live this life with. Is it clothes or food? Raiment or transportation? What do you need? Some of you got cars that we have to pray just to get you to come to church because it might not make it. Steve? You know it's bad to be in the car business and not have a decent car. It's bad to have a doctor and you go in to talk to him, he tells you how bad off he is, worse than you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. I'm going to seek it, then the things that I need come in my way. I don't have to ask him for things. It just comes my way. When we align with God, you say, what's in it for you? When you align with God's purpose, we experience his, here's what we experience, his provision, his peace, and his power. Provision, three P's, provision, peace, and power. Example, David. Watch this. Getting aligned with God. Watch this. David, though he was anointed, waited in alignment for God's timing. When he stepped into this role, he became a man after God's own heart, fulfilling his destiny. Well, that's great. But let me tell you a little more about that story. David's first official kingship was over Judah. That began 15 years after his anointing. From Samuel. And from that anointing, from his same time, from his anointing as a teenager to becoming king over all Israel, it took about 20 to 22 years. I would say David had a clue about waiting and alignment. See, we want our answer and we want it now. But God may it may take God 5 years to get you to mature enough to be able to handle it. Now you can see why David could write or pen, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Because he lived it. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He had to come in alignment with God's perfect plan for his life. He was anointed. I bet in that little teenager's mind, he's thinking, man, I'm ready to go out and be the king. He wasn't old enough nor mature enough to handle that. He had to, let me say this. He had to go through some battles in order to be the warrior God wanted him to be. And somebody say, that takes time. That takes time. So, how do we apply all these things? We start praying for guidance. Talk to God. On a daily basis, start to seek God. God, I want to seek your will. Through prayer and meditation, I want to seek your will. And let me say this about, as I thought about that this morning early, I got up very early this morning again. When somebody, as somebody did write me this morning at 6:30, and asked me to pray for him, it was a preacher. He said he's congested and coughing, and yet he's got to go preach. He's evangelizing now. He said, I've got to go preach, and I've got to dedicate some children today in this special meeting. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's good. No, watch this. If somebody asks you to pray for them, do it right then. If they ask you to pray, pray for them. Because I'm of the opinion, we use that as a cliche. Hey, Steve, pray for me. Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. And then you forget about me. You need to pray as soon as you can. So when somebody asks, there's a reason. So as soon as I was asked, I said, Lord, touch him now. Lord, be with him. Strengthen him. He's your man. He said, well, did you not have to pray an hour and a half? No. I think God's smart enough to realize that in those words, he needs to touch the man. That's why I don't pray for you long. I don't have to pray a long time to see you healed. It's where your faith meets my faith, we touch God. So pray for those that seek prayer if you really want to get in alignment with God. What's another one? I'm almost through. So y'all can start praising God now. You need to start, in order to walk in these properly in alignment with God, you need to start evaluating your priorities. Assess areas of your life where you may be out of alignment. Assess it. Start to look where I might be out of alignment. And you start thinking about it. You'll find them. You'll see them. Ask yourself this. Am I putting God first? And you'll answer your own question. Am I putting God first? Because if I'm of the opinion, if you put God first, he'll never put you last. Some have never even thought about giving to God's work. Yet God's work is given so much back to them. You say, ain't giving me nothing. I ain't got no food from it. Oh, yeah? You better think about that. Because God's word is what changed your life. Like you touched your dad. Did he? That's my point. God's word. Yeah, but God didn't expect me to support the ministry. Really? How about somebody else that may be just like you that needs a word? And the Bible says they have to be sent. But God's not talking to me about that. You better hear it. Because God expects much more from us than we've ever expected. So I'm asking you, are we putting God first? What's the next thing I need to do? I need to surround myself or yourself with encouragement, building relationships. Hang around people that will encourage your relationship with God. Don't hang around people that all they do talk about is negative things. People that will challenge you to stay in line with God's purpose. I'm about to close. It'll take me 25 minutes, but I'm almost there. Here's some closing thoughts for you, Christian. Nobody else listening to me. God's plan for your life is greater than anything you can imagine. But it requires your participation. Alignment with His purpose is not about perfection. If you're waiting to be perfect, you won't be. It's not about perfection, it's about surrender. It's about trust. It's about obedience. So when we align with Him, His power starts to work through us or through you. And His promises come to life in ways you never thought possible. Scripture reference, Psalms 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. My goodness. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him, and He will act. So here's my question to you as we close. Are you ready to align yourself? Well, I'm not ready yet, Bishop. Well, you just answered your own question. Are you ready to align yourself with the Creator? Are you ready to walk fully into the purpose that He has for you? Are you ready?